Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, June 11th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
Joe Biden and Boris Johnson put tensions on hold during their first meeting.
Climate change looks to be a key focus at today's G7 summit.
A bipartisan Senate group pitches a $1.2 trillion infrastructure deal.
And a push to tax the wealthy picks up steam in Washington.
The New York mayoral race could give Democrats a glimpse at their future. And retroactive sick leave could be coming to New Jersey. I'm Amy Morris. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshire in sports. The Nets lost a low-scoring Game 3 in Milwaukee. The Yankees blew a ninth-inning lead, lost in Minnesota.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. futures are treading water this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 2 points, Dow futures up 51, NASDAQ futures down 1. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. The 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.43%, yield on the 2-year 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.2% or 12 cents at $70.41 a barrel, and COMEX gold is down less than 0.1% on $1.30 at $18.95.10 an ounce. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the G7 summit in Cornwall. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson and President Joe Biden are putting Brexit tensions aside ahead of the meeting.
It's wonderful to listen to the Biden administration and to Joe Biden, because there's so much that they want to do together with us, from security, NATO, to climate change.
And President Biden is reaffirming Washington's special relationship with Britain. He says the U.S. is ready to work with the U.K. on a number of urgent issues.
We discussed our common goals for driving ambitious global action to address the climate crisis. And the Climate Leaders Summit that I hosted in April was in part about helping drive forward the momentum toward the critical COP26 that the U.K. will host in Glasgow later this year.
Climate change will be a major agenda item when the Group of Seven officially starts their summit today. But there's plenty more to discuss as well. And Bloomberg's James Wilcock has more from Cornwall.
Leaders of the world's largest democracies debate the three C's, COVID, climate change and China. They're expected to pledge a new 1 billion jabs to help vaccinate the world's poorest against COVID. However, the pandemic is far from over, even at the G7, with members of Angela Merkel's security team testing positive for the virus before the summit has even begun. In Cornwall, James Wilcock, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, James, thanks. Back in the U.S., the push for an infrastructure bill continues. A bipartisan group of lawmakers has agreed on a $1.2 trillion 8-year plan. Ann Cates has details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The proposal by 10 senators, including Republican Mitt Romney and Democrat Joe Manchin, calls for $579 billion in new spending beyond funding Congress is already expected to enact. And the deal pays for modernizing the country's infrastructure without tax increases. The panel issued a statement saying they are discussing their approach with their colleagues in the Senate, along with the White House, in hopes of getting broad support from both parties and taking care of America's infrastructure needs. In Washington, Ann Cates, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ann. A move to tax the wealthy is also gaining steam in Washington. We get the latest live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Renita.
Karen, two Democrats from both chambers introduced legislation that would place a new surtax on millionaires. The idea could gain traction later this year as Democrats consider the new levies on the wealthy. Now, the bill would place a 10% tax on individuals earning more than $1 million and couples making more than $2 million. And as a result, lawmakers say federal revenue could increase by $634 billion over a decade. It's worth noting, however, that this plan is not part of the tax hikes proposed by President Biden. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Turning to corporate news now, there is more fallout from the U.S. approval of Biogen's Alzheimer's drug. A prominent Harvard professor has resigned from the FDA's advisory panel in protest of the move. We get more from Bloomberg's Denise Pellegrini.
Dr. Aaron Kesselheim has resigned in a letter to acting head of the FDA, and he is the third committee member to quit over this approval. Kesselheim calls it probably the worst drug approval decision in recent U.S. history. Evidence the drug works is mixed. Two big clinical trials produced conflicting results on whether it could slow cognitive decline. The FDA's approval is conditional. It wants the Cambridge-based drug maker to conduct an additional trial to confirm effectiveness. Kesselheim wanted that additional study done first. Denise Pellegrini, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Denise, thank you. The push to get employees back in person is gathering steam, but one prominent company is relaxing its stance. Now, Amazon says it wants corporate employees back in the office at least 3 days a week, and Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has the story.
It is a softer stance from the company's earlier position that it has an office-centric culture. Amazon said it expects office workers in the U.S., U.K., and several other countries to resume working mostly from the office the week of September 7th. According to the email, quote, like all companies and organizations around the world, we're managing every stage of this pandemic for the first time, learning and evolving as we go. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. The past year's taken real estate prices on a wild ride. Now, the president of Blackstone has some advice for property investors. Don't fear a bust anytime soon. John Gray spoke with Bloomberg's David Rubenstein.
I think it's still a pretty good time for real estate, and I'd say it for a couple of reasons. One is the warning signs for real estate are twofold. Too much leverage, too much capital, and we don't really have that in the real estate system today. The other, too many cranes, too much building. And we're actually below historic levels in terms of new supply.
Blackstone President John Gray made the comments on Bloomberg Wealth with David Rubenstein. The program debuts on Bloomberg Television July 6th.
Shares of GameStop are higher after yesterday's session, which saw the meme stock lose more than a quarter of its value. Investors dumped the stock after the video game retailer said it planned to sell more shares. It also offered few details about its turnaround strategy. The stock, which is up more than 7% in early trading, has gained more than 1,000% this year.
And other meme stocks making news this morning, AMC's gotten a credit upgrade. S&P Global Ratings has boosted AMC to CCC+ from CCC-. That's a two-notch upgrade. It still leaves the company in junk territory. Shares are higher by nearly 4% in early trading. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. We bring in Amy Morris for a look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Nathan. The race for New York mayor has become a litmus test of sorts for Democrats' clout in the next few years. National progressive figures backing candidate Maya Wiley need a high-profile win to prove their movement has voter support, and New York City would give them a new level of credibility. Wiley is currently second in the polls behind Eric Adams. But top of mind for voters now is crime. For the first time in years, polls suggest fear of crime could be a prime factor in who voters choose for a mayor of New York. Early voting begins tomorrow in the party primaries. Election day is June 22nd, and we'll have live coverage of the vote count as it rolls in that night here on Bloomberg Radio. FBI Director Christopher Wray says the Bureau discourages ransomware payments to hacking groups, even as major companies in the past month have been paying out millions.
It encourages more of this kind of activity. But then there's second, some more practical issues, which sometimes you could pay the ransom and not get your system back.
FBI Director Christopher Wray telling a House Judiciary Committee that businesses should work with law enforcement officials. The Oregon House of Representatives took the historic step last night of expelling a Republican member who let violent far-right protesters into the state capitol on December 21st. Republicans voted with Democrats to expel Representative Mike Nierman with a 59-1 vote. Earlier, Nierman defended himself to the committee.
I asked the question, why were they angry? They wanted to be part of a process which you intentionally excluded them from.
Nierman was seen on security video opening a door to protesters as Oregon's lawmakers were meeting in an emergency session to deal with economic fallout from the coronavirus pandemic. Retroactive paid sick leave could be coming to New Jersey workers who missed work because of vaccine side effects or quarantining. NJ.com reports a new bill would require employers to provide paid sick leave to workers who need the time off related to the coronavirus pandemic. The measure heads now to the full Senate. The Republican minority party in New Jersey's legislature is criticizing Democratic Governor Phil Murphy for not disclosing his plans for billions of dollars in unexpected revenue. They say the money should go to the pension, taxpayer relief, and other long-term relief from the state's high expenses. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Amy, thank you. Just about 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshower.
All right, Nathan, the Nets and Bucks were the two highest scoring teams in the NBA in the regular season. The playoffs are a different story. Tighter defense. Both teams struggled to score in Game 3 in Milwaukee. Both shot under 38%. The Bucks were 6 of 31 on three-pointers, but a late driving layup by Jrue Holiday, a three-point miss at the buzzer from Kevin Durant. Milwaukee won 86-83, cutting the Brooklyn series lead to 2-1. Durant scored 30. Chris Middleton had 35 for Milwaukee, and Giannis Antetokounmpo went for 33. 37 points for Donovan Mitchell in Utah. Jazz again beat the Clippers, go up 2-0 in that series. Vegas Golden Knights with a fourth straight win over Colorado to take that Stanley Cup playoff series in six games. Aroldis Chapman had been nearly perfect all season. Four wins, 12 saves, only one earned run allowed in 23 innings pitched. Chapman went to the mound, ninth inning to Minnesota to protect a 5-3 Yankee lead. Single, home run, single, and then Nelson Cruz at the plate for the Twins.
5-5. Astudillo at first, and the pitch, a swing and a fly ball. Left center field and deep. Back it goes. Deep it goes. Twins win. Twins win. The Minnesota Twins win it.
WCCO, the call, 7-5. The final, the Cruz homer following one by Josh Donaldson, Giancarlo Stanton, and Gio Urshela with Yankee home runs. Rafael Nadal has lost only two of his 103 career French Open matches. One of the losses was to Novak Djokovic, although when they met 10 months ago in Paris, Nadal won easily. They play today in the semifinals. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, ahead of the market open, S&P futures are up 2 points, Dow futures up 53, NASDAQ futures down 4 points, 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.43%. Up next, we check in live with Bloomberg's Guy Johnson in Cornwall ahead of the start of the G7 summit. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather. Slight chance for an afternoon shower today. Otherwise, a mix of sun and clouds and a high in the mid-70s. Upper 70s for the weekend. By Sunday, we could see some showers and storms. Right now, 62 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by IBKR. Investment advisors switch to Interactive Brokers for lowest cost global trading and turnkey custody solutions. No ticket charges and no conflicts of your interests at IBKR.com/RIA. And U.S. stock index futures are higher this morning. S&P futures up 4 points. Dow futures up 66. NASDAQ futures up about 5. The DAX in Germany is up 0.25%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.43%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is up about 0.2% or 12 cents at $70.41 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% on $1.90 at $18.94.50 an ounce. The euro 1.2156 against the dollar, British pound 1.4149, and the yen's at 109.50. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Karen, world leaders from the group of seven industrialized nations today will pivot from those opening greetings into a session called Building Back Better from COVID-19, all beginning just about 3 hours from now. A bipartisan group of lawmakers has agreed on a $1.2 trillion 8-year infrastructure plan without tax increases. The Wall Street Journal reports it calls for spending $974 billion over 5 years. The Biden administration is now pressing the United Arab Emirates to remove Huawei from its telecommunications network, raising the stake that the UAE's purchase of some $23 billion in F-35 jets and drones may be at stake.
shake. In sports, in the NBA playoffs, the Nets lose to the Bucks, but still lead the series 2-1. In baseball, the Yankees lose, the Red Sox win, the Giants and the Nets play tonight. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Amy. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And as we get set for day one of the G7 summit in Cornwall, we're joined live from the English coast by Bloomberg's Guy Johnson. Guy, good morning. Thank you again for being with us. And it was very interesting to hear Amy Morris in the news just there talking about the recovery from the pandemic globally being termed Build Back Better. Sounds a lot like what President Biden has described his infrastructure plan in the U.S. Does that put the U.S. at the center of what's happening at the G7 now?
Well, I think that's going to be interesting to see how that narrative develops. The European leadership is going to be arriving over the next hour or so. We've just seen Mario Draghi, the former chair of the president of the ECB, and now Prime Minister of Italy arriving. Then we get Emmanuel Macron. We see the German Chancellor also turning up this morning. And they are here, three heavyweight leaders, I think, to probably provide a little bit of a counterweight to the power of the president. And it'll be interesting to see kind of how that relationship develops. It is, I think, as you say, I think the language is fascinating, Build Back Better. We have heard that somewhere before, haven't we?
Yeah, exactly. And very interesting as well to hear the president yesterday with that big announcement about vaccine distribution around the world. It sounds like he wants the U.S. to provide fully half of what the G7 could commit to in terms of a billion doses for the rest of the world. What are we expecting as the summit itself gets underway today?
So in terms of the focus today, as I say, the European leaders are going to be arriving very shortly. They will have a meeting which will kind of coordinate their approach. Then, as you say, we move on to the afternoon session, the plenary, Build Back Better. Boris Johnson will be delivering the kind of the establishing speech in that meeting, and that will continue throughout the day. Tomorrow we move on to wider subjects. I think you'll probably hear more about the vaccine story as that develops. I think you'll hear more in terms of the foreign policy narrative as well over the weekend. I was talking to the president of the European Council. He coordinates all of the European leaders just a few minutes ago, and he was talking about the fact that there is scope for agreement, I think, in China, on China and on Russia. Remember, the president is going, the president of the United States is going to be speaking to Vladimir Putin next week. So that's the kind of the lie of the land at the moment. There is a big environmental sort of narrative underlying all of this as well. Boris Johnson is keen to pursue that reasonably aggressively. And I think you may see some commitments in terms of the way forward in a coordinated fashion when it comes to what is happening on the climate. But as I was talking to the European leadership, they were suggesting, Charles Michel was suggesting, that actually the lack of a carbon price in the United States is something that is a bit of an issue. The European Union have been progressing quite aggressively in terms of developing a carbon price. That hasn't happened in the United States. That could act as one area of friction.
Yeah, that is a very interesting development there. What other kinds of commitments could we see in terms of going after the climate crisis? We saw that letter yesterday from global investors pushing for more firm commitments from the world's largest economies.
Well, I think what investors want are details. Investors, these sort of meetings tend to happen at a very high level. You get kind of commitments made. They're relatively broad. They sound fantastic at a headline level. But as with all these things, the devil is always in the detail. And I think that's where investors are increasingly becoming frustrated. We have these targets, yet we don't know exactly the route to achieving them and the milestones along the way. And I think this is where investors are getting frustrated. I think that's where they want clarity from the leadership. As I say, it is about the details. It is about exactly kind of how it happens in a nuts and bolts kind of fashion that I think investors are looking for, because that's how they are going to allocate money. Big kind of sweeping statements are great, but if you're actually allocating money, you need details. And I think that is what investors are pushing for.
In our last minute here, Guy, it'll be interesting as well to see how much the climate push positions the G7 against China. I mean, that is something that could be a friction point as well, taking on China more aggressively in terms of getting it on board to greater climate commitments.
Well, that's going to be the struggle. The U.S. sees China as an adversary. How do you work with an adversary? And in some ways, this is why the G7 is maybe less relevant than it used to be. We are going to have a G20 meeting that's going to take place in Italy and Venice. That might be a more useful forum to bring in kind of the major economies around the world onto the same page and maybe to being able to deliver policy. But I think this kind of adversarial relationship is going to be really difficult in terms of trying to find common ground with China on climate. Nathan.
Thank you for this. Guy Johnson joining us live from Cornwall as leaders from the G7 continue to arrive for the start of the summit getting underway just about 2.5 hours from now, a little bit more than 2.5 hours. We're looking forward to Guy's coverage throughout the day and into the weekend. Stick with Bloomberg Radio and Television for all the latest. Looking ahead to the market open, S&P futures are higher by 5 points. Dow futures up 78, NASDAQ futures up 7 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, a mix of sun and clouds today. Slight chance for an afternoon shower going up to 75 degrees. We're going to be in the upper 70s tomorrow, partly sunny, upper 70s Sunday as well, with a chance for a few more showers and storms.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks around the world are on track for a fourth week of gains as world leaders meet in England. The Group of Seven summit marks Joe Biden's first trip overseas as president. Yesterday, he had a friendly meeting with U.K. Prime Minister Boris Johnson, but today could present more friction. Bloomberg's Guy Johnson has more from Cornwall, England.
The Trump administration changed the attitude here in Europe towards the United States. And as a result, there is this view that the U.S. needs to not only talk the talk, but walk the walk. They want some concrete measures from the Biden administration. And there is frustration that the Biden administration is acting unilaterally on a number of issues. There is frustration that the Biden administration is putting pressure on Nord Stream 2 and meddling in European energy politics. So there is frustration. This is not going to be as easy day as it was yesterday.
And Bloomberg's Guy Johnson says the G7 agenda will likely be dominated by COVID-19, climate change, and China.
Back here in the U.S., infrastructure is still on the agenda. Sources say a bipartisan group of 10 senators has agreed to pitch a $1.2 trillion 8-year spending package to the White House. Taxing the wealthy is also on the agenda in Washington, and we get the latest on that live with Bloomberg's Renita Young.
Nathan, two Democrats from both chambers introduced legislation that would place a new surtax on millionaires. This idea could gain traction later this year as Democrats consider new levies on the wealthy. Now, the bill would place a 10% tax on individuals earning more than $1 million and couples making more than $2 million. As a result, lawmakers say federal revenue would increase by $634 billion over a decade. And by the way, this plan is not part of the tax hikes proposed by President Biden. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. Turning to corporate news now, Amazon appears to be changing its tune when it comes to working from home. The company says it wants corporate employees to return to the office at least 3 days a week this fall.
And shares of GameStop are up 5.8% in early trading. That follows yesterday's session, which saw the meme stock lose more than a quarter of its value.
S&P futures are higher and gaining strength, up 8 points now. Dow futures up 90. NASDAQ futures up 30. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32. The yield 1.43%. And the yield on the 2-year 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.2% or 15 cents at $70.45 a barrel. And COMEX gold is little change. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
6:33 on Wall Street. Amy Morris has the latest on what's happening in New York and around the world. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Nathan. Early voting begins tomorrow in New York City's primary elections, and the number one issue on voters' minds appears to be crime. While violence has not reached the historic highs of the 1990s, candidates still find themselves balancing talk of police reform with promises to not let New York backslide into a crime capital. Election day is June 22nd, and we'll have live coverage of the vote count as it rolls in that night on on Bloomberg Radio. New legislation would allow New Yorkers to have their criminal records automatically sealed for nonviolent parole violations, and they can avoid jail time. The New York Senate and Assembly passed the Less is More Act, which would largely eliminate the practice of incarcerating people for technical parole violations. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler of New York took the FBI to task on Capitol Hill yesterday. He says the FBI is making a mistake by lumping all ideological extremism into one and needs to start looking within its own ranks for white supremacy sympathizers.
It is past time for the FBI to begin what the Department of Homeland Security and the Pentagon have already begun, a full internal review of white supremacist membership within the Bureau.
New York Democrat Jerry Nadler chairing that committee, where FBI Director Christopher Wray told lawmakers, while ideological threats of violence are a top concern, his agency will not go after those who exercise their rights to peacefully protest. Meanwhile, a warning from Wray about ransomware. He had advice for any businesses that might be victims of ransomware attacks.
It is our policy. It is our guidance from the FBI that companies should not pay the ransom.
FBI Director Christopher Wray tells the House Judiciary Committee that paying the ransom encourages more attacks, and you might not get your system back anyway. Two partners at an equity research firm were charged by U.S. prosecutors with using tips on planned health care mergers to reap millions of dollars in illegal profits. Tomer Feingold and Dov Malnick were charged with conspiracy and securities fraud. Prosecutors say they were both part of an international insider trading ring operating from 2013 to 2017. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Amy. 6:35 on Wall Street. John Stanshauer has got the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. The Nets had won their last four playoff games that averaged 126 points a game in those four. But last night in Game 3 in Milwaukee, the Nets scored just 11 points in the first quarter, only 18 in the fourth. The Bucks weren't scoring much either. They trailed by one late in the game.
15 seconds to play. The Bucks will play for one. Holiday to the rim. Scores! 84-83 Bucks. 11.4 to play. On a night when he has struggled, Holiday comes up with the biggest shot of the night.
Bucks radio, Drew Holiday had been 3-for-13. Milwaukee won it 86-83, led by Chris Middleton and Giannis Antetokounmpo, who combined for 68 points, only 18 from the rest of the team. Kevin Durant led Brooklyn with 30. The Nets' best shooter, Joe Harris, shot 1-for-11. It's now 2-1 Nets with Game 4 Sunday. Utah's sixth straight playoff win beat the Clippers, lead 2-0. The Vegas Golden Knights have only been in existence for 4 years. They have reached the Stanley Cup Conference Final in 3 of the 4. They beat Colorado, will now play Montreal. The Islanders have Game 1 at Tampa Bay on Sunday afternoon. Yankees have not had a loss like this all season. Giancarlo Stanton gave them the lead, a 3-run homer in the first inning. In Minnesota, the Yanks led 5-3 in the ninth, brought in Aroldis Chapman. He had been automatic all season. Chapman faced four batters, gave up four hits, four runs. A Josh Donaldson 2-run homer tied the game, and Nelson Cruz 2-run shot won it for Minnesota in stunning fashion, 7-5. French Open semifinals today, including Rafael Nadal against Novak Djokovic, their 58th career meeting. John Stanshauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Wow. All right. Thank you, John. It is 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market. Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson is here with a meme stock update.
Well, we got to start there. I mean, given the week that we've seen for these Reddit-driven shares, trading seems to be settling down a bit. You're getting a bounce in GameStop. It's up 5.5% in early trading. Now, yesterday, the video game retailer tumbled 27%. That was its steepest drop since March. GameStop disclosed plans to sell as many as 5 million shares and said an investigation is underway by U.S. regulators into recent trading activity. Looking over some of the other meme stocks, you've got the movie theater owner AMC Entertainment up 4% in early trading. The insurer Clover Health Investments, though, down 2.5%. And Context Logic, the owner of e-commerce site Wish.com, up 1% in early trading.
All right, let's look outside Reddit, see what else is moving, Dave.
You've got Snowflake lower by 3%. The data warehouse software maker presented targets for fiscal 2029 at a meeting late yesterday with analysts and investors. Citigroup said the company's goal of a 10% operating profit margin was less than impressive. You also have Pentair down 3% after a similar meeting. The maker of water pumps and filtration systems is lower, even though it raised forecasts for this quarter and year. Then there's Vertex Pharmaceuticals down 13%. The drug maker ended development of a treatment for liver disease. Results from a mid-stage trial showed patients didn't benefit from taking the drug. CureVac's lower by 8%. Germany no longer plans to use the company's COVID-19 shot as part of its current vaccination campaign, according to Mannheimer Morgan. The newspaper report cited Health Minister Jens Spahn's communication with state-level officials. Now, the ministry said CureVac's vaccine can be used once approved by the European Union. That hasn't happened yet. Chewy's lower by 1%. The online pet store sales for the fiscal first quarter barely beat analysts' average estimate in the Bloomberg survey, and that gap was the narrowest in 5 quarters. Dave & Buster's Entertainment, though, up 5.5%. The restaurant and game center owner had an unexpected first quarter profit. Revenue exceeded estimates, as did the company's second quarter sales forecast. And Atotech, up 6.5%. The supplier of chemicals for chip production received a takeover offer from MKS Instruments, according to Reuters. Now, the report cited unnamed people familiar with the matter. Details of the offer weren't available. And if you want to follow this one today, Nathan, the ticker on Atotech is ATC.
Okie doke. Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson, thank you as always. Looking forward to the market open. Starting to see some firming gains for equity futures. Right now, S&P futures are up 6 points. Dow futures up 80. NASDAQ futures higher by almost 24 points. Seeing gains for European stocks as well, with the German DAX up 0.3%. The CAC in Paris is higher by 0.7%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.43%. On the benchmark 10-year note, yield on the 2-year 0.14%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather will wrap up the week with a slight chance for an afternoon shower, high near 75 degrees, upper 70s for the weekend, sunshine for the most part, though we could see some showers and storms by Sunday.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are on the rise this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures with a bid right now, with Dow futures up 92 points, S&P's gain 8, and NASDAQ futures rise by 27. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.44%. Gold is down 5 points, and Bitcoin gains 2.7%. Shanghai fell 0.6% overnight, while European markets are trading higher this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 10 o'clock, Michigan sentiment. After the bell last night, Chewy boosted its sales forecast. And in other news, Electronic Arts was hit by hackers who took source code, and Vertex is sinking 13% in the pre-market after ending a trial to develop a liver disease drug. Wrapping things up, Biogen was raised to outperform at Bernstein. Tilray cut to neutral over at CIBC. Live from the First Rebecca News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Karen, at the G7, world leaders moved closer to a joint plan to tax tech giants, push back against Russia and China, and give new life to the global COVID-19 vaccine campaign. A bipartisan group of senators is eyeing an infrastructure deal with $579 billion in a new spending as part of a $1 trillion total package. The senators call their tentative agreement a realistic compromise framework. The Justice Department under former President Trump reportedly seized data from the accounts of at least two
members of the House Intelligence Committee in 2018, part of its response to the Russia investigation. The New York Times reports prosecutors subpoenaed Apple for that data. In sports, in the NBA playoffs, the Nets lose to the Bucks, but still lead that series 2-1. In baseball, the Yankees lose, the Red Sox win. The Giants and the Nats play tonight. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Amy, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Biden announcing a plan to send a half billion Pfizer shots to countries in need, a bipartisan Senate group sealing a $1.2 trillion infrastructure deal, the latest proposal on that score, and Adam Schiff accusing the Trump Justice Department of improperly investigating his House Intelligence Committee. Also making news, President Biden and Boris Johnson putting Brexit tensions on hold ahead of the G7 summit. Let's get the view from Washington. Check in with Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. So Biden and Boris broke the ice. What's on tap for the G7 today, Emily?
So today in the G7, President Biden's going to be meeting with other world leaders. They're expected to continue their discussions about the COVID-19 virus and what they can do to really help other countries with their recovery from the virus. They're looking at giving $100 billion from funds from the International Monetary Fund from more vulnerable nations that might need help in their recovery from the pandemic. They're also expected to talk about climate change today. But as you noted, the meetings got off to a good start yesterday for President Biden when he met UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson for the first time. The two really clicked despite growing tensions in the U.S. and its concern about how the U.K. is leaving Brexit and what that might mean for Northern Ireland.
And we also heard the president yesterday with a pretty big announcement on the vaccine front, promising to distribute a half billion Pfizer shots around the world.
Yeah, this is the U.S. kind of getting to the point where they've looked at sort of domestically the vaccines they've been able to get out, the people who have been able to get the vaccine and are now fully vaccinated. And now the Biden administration is really turning their attention internationally with the knowledge that, you know, if there is still COVID out there in certain countries, it always risks getting back to the U.S., and if it's a different strain, then potentially that could be an issue. This is something that the Biden administration has been called on to do as far as assisting and helping other countries. The U.S. is far away one of the countries that's been best at getting individuals vaccinated and vaccinating their population. And so the U.S. has now sort of got a number of international calls to really assist other nations in their efforts.
Of course, with so much attention on the G7, we do also have yet another development, yet another proposal on infrastructure. Tell us about it.
So after talks between President Biden and Republican Shelley Moore Capito broke down earlier this week, there was another group waiting in the wings. This is a bipartisan group of 10 senators that have agreed to a bill that would have $579 billion in new spending. A lot of this would be focused on what we think of as traditional infrastructure, roads, bridges, highways. This is still far less than the $1.7 trillion that President Biden initially proposed. But at this point, it is something that's bipartisan. You've got, you know, the 5 and 5. Of course, the magic number for Republicans is 10. Can Republicans get the 10 senators to agree with it? And on the Democratic side, the question is, will progressives be willing to go along with legislation that doesn't include things like climate change, which is a big priority for Democrats?
And another big question, of course, is how to pay for it. We've heard some discussion about indexing the gas tax to inflation. Perhaps that could be a way to bring more revenue in for this proposal.
That is something that we're hearing some senators say that they are open to, including Senator Dick Durbin, who's the number two Democrat in the Senate below Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. But the fact of the matter is that the White House has really sort of held firm on not raising the gas tax at all. That's sort of been a red line for President Biden. I mean, you remember what happened just a few months ago during Colonial Pipeline when gas taxes rose, how angry that made so many Americans and how much flack President Biden got for that. So that's been a really bright line for President Biden. At the same point, the difficulty is that the red line for Republicans is they don't want to do any tax changes from what they did in 2017. And that's the sort of cornerstone of President Biden's plan. So still some debate there on exactly what's going to happen with pay for it.
All right. Now, in the time we have left, Emily, what's this that Adam Schiff is saying now about the Justice Department issuing subpoenas to his House Intelligence Committee under the Trump administration?
Yeah, so Adam Schiff, a spokeswoman for the committee, said that that the President Trump's Department of Justice did try to get records and sort of look into people in an attempt to really track down leaks that had led to articles about Trump's circle in Russia and trying to figure out who these leakers were, who were telling people things. I mean, this is just one of the most recent things we've heard about the Trump Department of Justice trying to file subpoenas against members of Congress, against reporters. And so this is something that Schiff has, you know, really started speaking out about after he found out about it this week. And, you know, it's going to remain to be seen exactly what next steps are taken. But there's definitely some concern about this among Democrats that a sitting president would try to subpoena members of Congress who are investigating him.
In our last 30 seconds here, has there been any reaction to this from the Biden Justice Department, Attorney General Merrick Garland?
So we heard a lot from the Biden Justice Department on other leaks that we've heard or that have been reported, rather, is that the Biden Justice Department is not going to do anything like this, that they do not support these sorts of things, at least against journalists. I mean, otherwise, this is, you know, it's Adam Schiff and Joe Biden are members of the same party. So it's not likely that there would be other investigations. I think it's safe to say that the Trump Justice Department did a number of precedent-setting actions that I don't think most people expect to see from the Biden administration.
My Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, thank you as always for the update from Washington. Karen.
Nathan, it is 6:55 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, number one in the nation for student upward economic mobility and ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings. More at njit.edu. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Venus is hotter than ever, with a third new robotic explorer on the horizon, a week after NASA announced two new missions to our closest neighbor. The European Space Agency said it will launch a Venus orbiting spacecraft in the early 2030s. The orbiter will attempt to explain why Venus is so wildly different from Earth, even though the two planets are similar in size and composition. Elon Musk said it's Tesla's fastest car yet. He showed off the Model S plaid at the company's factory in Fremont, California.
Why make this really fast car? That's crazy fast and everything. And I think there is something that's quite important to the future of sustainable energy, which is that we've got to show that an electric car is the best car, hands down.
Musk said the Model S Plaid has a top speed of 200 miles per hour, the cost roughly $130,000. And no console, no problem. Microsoft said its Xbox gaming unit is working on new hardware and deals with TV makers that will let people play games and experience the Xbox without needing to buy a gaming machine. The idea would be to embed the Xbox experience directly into an internet-connected TV with nothing else needed except for a video game controller. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Futures this morning on the rise. S&P futures up 9 points. Dow futures up 110. NASDAQ futures up 34. And Bloomberg surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keen, Lisa Abramowitz, and Romain Bostic. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.